A gorilla named Mokolo was dying. At 461 pounds with an enlarged heart, this western lowland gorilla at Cleveland Metro Park Zoo suffered from the same heart disease killing captive male gorillas and human males worldwide. The strange part? Mokolo never touched fast food, red meat, or processed sugar. He ate what seemed like a healthy vegan diet, fortified fiber bars called gorilla biscuits, supplemented with vegetables and fruit. Yet he was sick, overweight, and displaying bizarre behaviors, regurgitating his food and obsessively plucking his hair. The solution came from an unexpected place, mimicking what wild gorillas actually eat. The zoo eliminated processed biscuits and replaced them with grocery store vegetables resembling plants wild gorillas would encounter. The transformation was remarkable. Mokolo lost 70 pounds, despite eating twice as many calories. The hair plucking stopped. The regurgitation disappeared. This wasn't magic. It was biology. By honoring what gorillas evolved to eat, the zoo helped Mokolo thrive. The principle is elegantly simple. Know thy species. Study an animal in its natural habitat, then recreate those conditions. This same wisdom applies to us. We are animals with specific biological needs shaped by millions of years of evolution, and when we ignore them, we get sick. Skull V, an 80,000-year-old hunter-gatherer skull at Harvard's Peabody Museum, reveals perfectly straight teeth, no cavities, and properly erupted wisdom teeth. His large jaw accommodated all teeth, unlike modern humans whose smaller jaws result from soft, processed foods. His thick femur indicates tall stature and significant musculature, a snapshot of human biology before agriculture. The Paleolithic age began 2.6 million years ago. Our brains doubled in size, fueled by dietary shifts toward omnivory, more tubers and meat. Cooking emerged roughly a million years ago, yielding more calories for our expanding brains. Agriculture arrived between 15,000 and 5,000 BCE. While enabling population growth and technology, health costs were steep. Early farmer remains show teeth ground flat with cavities, shorter stature, and more infectious diseases. Hunter-gatherers migrated seasonally, consumed hundreds of plant and dozens of animal species, eating entire animals, bones, organs, marrow. They suffered fewer chronic problems, no obesity, diabetes, less cancer, better dental health, good vision. Long before germ theory, Jewish law encoded disease prevention as religious ritual. The Torah mandated hand washing after waking, using the bathroom, and before meals. Islam later required hand washing 5 times daily before prayer. These weren't arbitrary rules, they were survival strategies wrapped in spiritual practice. Bathing became sacred. Jews bathed regularly, especially on the Sabbath, when purification included laundering clothes and cleaning homes. They created water of purification, possibly early soap, by combining water with ashes from sacrificial burning. When sacrifices ended, rabbis reinterpreted this as scalding hot water, leading to dish sterilization. The code recognized different materials required different treatment. Contaminated earthenware had to be destroyed. Bronze could be scoured and reused. Military victories required extensive purification. Soldiers who touched corpses underwent quarantine. Metal plunder was fire sterilized. Female captives had heads shaved and nails trimmed, eliminating pathogen hiding places. Sexual restrictions reduced disease transmission. The Torah prohibited prostitution, premarital sex, and adultery, practices particularly benefiting women who bear greater health burdens from STDs. Circumcision reduces urinary tract infections, STD transmission, and penile cancer. When the Black Death killed a third of Europe, Christians blamed Jews. Ironically, Jewish communities may have suffered less, not through conspiracy, but hygiene adherence. When Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis discovered hand washing in the mid-19th century, he was rediscovering what Jews had practiced for millennia. The Industrial Revolution exposed our biological limits. Hot air balloons and submarines revealed decompression sickness, 1840s, while Brooklyn Bridge construction caused hundreds of cases of the bends, 1870s. Britain's refined sugar adoption sparked dental problems and obesity, prompting William Banting's 1863 diet book. Indoor living created rickets, the British disease, first among wealthy sun avoiders, then urban poor, persisting until 1930s milk fortification. Space exploration confirmed we need habitats matching our evolutionary design, constants, gravity, pressure, cyclicals, day-night rhythms, and variables, food, temperature. Like zoo animals, we thrive in ancestral-like conditions. DNA's 1953 discovery revealed biology as the original information technology. Both use digital code, process information, and face viral infections. This sparked biohacking, applying hacker principles to health. Smart biohackers examine cross-species diets, study hunter-gatherer nutrition, consider cultural adaptations, learn from industrial mistakes, and experiment for personalized solutions. Contradictory dietary advice bombards us constantly. Eat meat, go vegan, no carbs, high carbs. The only consensus seems to be that fish is healthy and Twinkies aren't, though even this was questioned when a professor lost weight on a convenience store diet. We've retreated to everything in moderation, which merely restates the problem. Yet consider breast milk, universally acknowledged as superior to formula because it's biologically appropriate food. The advice to breastfeed essentially means eat like a mammal. Only after weaning do opinions diverge wildly. The conventional wisdom to eat fewer processed foods is imprecise. Humans have processed food for millennia. Cooking, fermenting, even chewing are all forms of processing. What people actually mean are industrial foods developed in laboratories using novel technologies our great-grandparents wouldn't recognize. The calories in, calories out approach oversimplifies weight management. Our bodies naturally match energy intake to expenditure. The anti-fat consensus is recent. Only in 1977 did guidelines promote higher carbohydrate intake. Yet farmers fatten livestock with carb-heavy grains, the very base of the human food pyramid. Our fear of animal fat rejects traditional herder diets like those of Mongolian nomads who thrived on nutrient-dense foods like raw milk, cream, butter, cheese, eggs, and meat. Stop counting calories. Hunter-gatherers never did, yet obesity was non-existent. A 2012 Hadza tribe study showed their energy expenditure matched modern Americans, revealing obesity stems from novel foods disrupting metabolism, not inactivity. Of 229 foraging societies, nearly three-quarters obtained over 50% of calories from animals. Most Westerners would benefit from less carbohydrate and more fat. Agriculture's shift to higher carbohydrates caused widespread tooth decay and now fuels cardiovascular disease, insulin resistance, and diabetes. Hunter-gatherers ate nearly every part of animals, preferring organs and fatty cuts over lean muscle. Brains, bone marrow, liver, heart, and kidneys were prized. Our aversion to nose-to-tail eating is cultural. Organ meats are exceptionally nutrient-rich. Maximize plant nutrients while minimizing toxins by eating diverse plants. Variety reduces toxicity since each plant's different toxins are harmless in small doses. Prioritize green leafy vegetables, seaweeds, fruits, berries, roots, and tubers over grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. Start with 1 month free of industrial foods. Seafood, meat, vegetables, roots, tubers, eggs, limited fruit, and nuts. After establishing a baseline, reintroduce foods one at a time to identify personal tolerances. This isn't reenactment, it's honoring your biology with supermarket foods. Until recently, survival demanded constant movement. Hunter-gatherers walked miles daily, farmers toiled endlessly. The Industrial Revolution replaced human power with machines, and the Information Revolution created success through decades of sitting. We've lost our motivation to move, and motivation literally means a reason for physical motion. Effective motivators tap ancient needs: hunger, fear, sex, status, community, and fun. Sports harness these tribal motivations but fade after college. The fitness industry largely fails. Witness abandoned gym memberships. CrossFit revolutionized fitness through psychology, redesigning the motivational habitat entirely. Workouts performed in groups, timed, scored, never repeated. Competitive, yet cooperative, with strong camaraderie and no mirrors. Not everyone thrives on competitive intensity. Lower testosterone personalities often prefer yoga's quiet spirituality. Dancing broadcasts health and sexual appeal while connecting to cultural traditions. Finding meaningful physical activities matters more than optimal protocols. Meaning drives consistency. The future of fitness lies in children's play. Unlike adults on treadmills, children naturally sprint, pivot, wrestle, climb, and jump, instinctual across species. The gym of the future resembles a jungle gym, focusing on skill development over conditioning. Your body isn't a vehicle for your brain. It's the reason your brain exists. The path forward? Eat real food, move like play, fast occasionally, and design your habitat to support your biology.